Well, here we are. It is Christmas Eve. How many of you are ready to open gifts either this evening or tomorrow? A lot of you are. That's good. Some of you have been ready for a long, long time. But as we all know, you have to be prepared for Christmas. And probably one of the things that a lot of you have done over the years in your preparation is that you went and you got a Christmas tree. Now, I'm going to take a real informal survey this afternoon. How many of you have an artificial tree? Just raise your hand. So a lot of you do. I do as well. Wasn't always that way. We've not always had an artificial tree. How many of you go to a tree lot? Buy a tree there. A number of you do that. Well, I want to tell you a little story. There was a certain family who couldn't have an artificial tree, who couldn't go to a lot, but had to do the trek out into the proverbial wilderness to the tree farm and cut down their own. So every year they would wander, hopefully through the snow, and they would go out there with the stars in the evening twinkling, and the atmosphere would be just right, and they would look over all the beautiful trees. And then they would pick out just the right one, not too tall, not too short, not too thin, just the right shape. And then they would cut it down and they would return and decorate it at home. Well, this one particular year, they couldn't find the right tree. Now, it wasn't because there weren't enough beautiful trees, that was not the problem. But rather, it was because the youngest, let's call him John. Just a name that I seem to remember. And being the youngest, being the one that often gets to dictate what the family is going to do. And so he said, none of these trees are right. He said, I don't want a beautiful tree. Instead, I want to pick one out that I can make beautiful. I think that reflects the heart of our God. You know, really, when it comes to Christmas time, I am so happy that God does not cater to the beautiful people, to the elite. Now, don't get me wrong, God loves all people. But as we hear this story once again, and especially as we reflect upon the shepherds, we are reminded that God loves all people exactly as we are, and he takes us, as ugly and selfish as we sometimes can be, and then he fills our hearts and our minds with his Spirit, and we become those beautiful people that God had intended from the very beginning. So let's just, for a few minutes this afternoon, take a look at those shepherds. I don't know why I like shepherds. I guess maybe it's because I grew up on a farm. We didn't have any sheep, but we had plenty of pigs and cows and dogs and cats and all the rest. We're reminded the shepherds were the lowest rung of society. They were on the very bottom of the ladder. They had this reputation that they would borrow things and they would never bring them back. We call that stealing. They wouldn't be trusted in a court of law. No banker would ever give them a loan. No one would invite them to their parties. After all, who wants to have somebody that comes that smells like sheep? They were despised, really, by all. They were the outlaws of Palestine, the hillbillies of Bethlehem, we might call them. And yet, as we reflect on the story once again, we see that they're the only ones who were invited to come and see the baby in the manger firsthand. The angels had appeared to them, and they had told them this story that this night in the city of David, a Savior is born, who is Christ the Lord. And that's a message for all of us this evening as well. And it's interesting that first message was given to the shepherds because it gives all of us a lot of hope as well. It reminds us that that our God has come for everyone, for the lost, the hurting, the marginalized, those that from time to time, not just society, but even the closest members of our own family, push aside. There was another family, a rather typical American family at Christmas time. Little four-year-old girl in this particular household. And it seemed like she could never do anything right. No matter what she did, she was always getting in trouble. It seemed like her toys were always in the way. And it was on Christmas Eve, the day before Christmas, when she was once again under the foot of her mother. And her mother, in her anger, turned to her and she said, "Why don't you just shut up and get out of the way?" Not exactly the words that you want to hear on Christmas. Well, those words of her mother, who not only did not want her presence, but was angry with her, those words pierced the little girl to her tiny soul. That night, as she was kneeling in front of her bed to say her prayers, as she always did, she knelt down and she said the Lord's Prayer as she was taught. After all, this was a good Christian household. And she came to that point there in the prayer where we are to pray for our daily bread. And then right after that, she said, "And forgive us our Christmases as we forgive those who Christmas against us." I don't know why that is. Christmas is supposed to be the most joyous time of the year, isn't it? But let's be honest, there are a lot of people here this afternoon who are hurting in their tiny souls as well. Because it's Christmas time where the burdens of the world seem to fall on us. All of our trials and struggles seem to come crashing down, and our souls so often feel depleted or overwhelmed, if not empty. And so, more than any other time of the year, we need to take a little pilgrimage to Bethlehem. We need to go to the manger once again and see this bundle of good news, this great joy that the angels had sung about. Because this is not only the gift to the shepherds and the wise men, but it's a gift to us as well. It's a reminder that our God cared about us so much that he would leave his home in heaven to come down here and become one of us. There in that little 6 or 8 pound bundle, all wrapped in swaddling cloths, there is God's gift to us. That he will always be there, no matter the trials or struggles or difficulties that we go through. And no matter what pain we bear, regardless of the time of the year, he is there to remove it from us, just as he did in the confession a few moments ago, to pronounce to you that your relationship with him is still secure, not just for today, not just at Christmas time, but forever and for all of eternity. The gift of Christmas, first given to the shepherds and now given to all of us and to the rest of the world. You know, at Christmas time, we remember a lot of our traditions, whether it's the gathering of the tree, the giving of the gifts, the decorating of our homes, or hopefully the coming to a church service like this one. It's those memories that need to be rekindled, because our tiny souls need that joy that we receive so innocently as a child and hopefully so enduring throughout the rest of our lives. Because it seems like it is at Christmas time that these memories are indelibly etched in our minds. Many years ago, I came across a little story. It was about a second grade teacher. And Her name was Mrs. Lawrence. Seems like there was a lady, her name was Mary Ann Bird, and she was born a little different. A little different from the rest of her classmates, and as children are so often, they don't understand when someone is different, and in their own defense mechanism, covering up their own differences, they make fun of the others. And so they did. You see, Mary Ann Bird was born with a cleft palate. And all the other children would ask her, you know, why is her lip misshapen and why is her nose crooked and why does she have this misshapen mouth and this garbled speech? And she would tell all of her classmates that she had fallen and she had cut her mouth on a piece of glass. She thought that maybe it was better to have an accident than to be born different. And then one Christmas, at her school, Mrs. Lawrence, this round, jolly, happy lady, reminded her of Mrs. Claus. They always had a hearing test at the time of the year, and it was always the same. She would send the children out of the room, and then one by one they would re-enter, and she would sit in her desk, and they would stand by the door, and she would whisper something. How are you? Are those new shoes? The sky is blue. And then they would repeat whatever it is that she had said. Well, Mary Ann Bird remembers that particular Christmas. All the way across the room came the whisper. Seven little words that changed her heart and her life forever. Words she thought that God certainly must have given to her teacher. I wish you were my little girl. That's the heart of our God. That's the message of Christmas. I wish you were my son. I wish you were my daughter. And if you can't hear those words, just come a little closer to the manger. That is the good news of the great joy that the angels once sang about 2,000 years ago, when those who were different, those who were lost, those who were hurting, those who were burdened, the shepherds were invited to see up close and personal just how much our God loves us. You are his son. You are his daughter. You are his child. Because God chose to leave his home of heaven and come down to this earth to become one of us. And so, we have the manger, this bundle of hope and joy and love and peace, the best Christmas tradition. The best Christmas gift of all.